is Gary Thompson. I'm here with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, I noticed that there was a Chinese blogger who talked about a zero-day bug in Yahoo Messenger pop-ups. I guess that had something to do with webcam invitations. What's this all about?
Well, there was a bug in Yahoo Messenger with how it dealt with the webcam invitations, if you will. And what would happen is if you accepted an invitation that was maliciously crafted, it would overflow. It's what they called a heap overflow or a buffer overflow, the Yahoo Messenger application. When an application buffer overflows or heap overflows, either way, the attacker, if they're really smart, can configure it so that it will allow them access to your computer. It can download programs and make those programs download other programs, things like that. So fundamentally, it's no different than tons of other vulnerabilities we've seen in a variety of applications, not just Windows, but Adobe Acrobat, iTunes. And there's just been loads and loads of third-party applications that have had overflows in them that would allow a remote attacker to gain access to your machine, to control your machine.
When would I get a webcam invitation? I don't recall even, I'm not even sure I know what a webcam invitation is.
Well, when you're using Yahoo Messenger, AIM, MSN Messenger, or I think they call it Live Messenger now, you have an option to share a webcam so you can see the person on the other end if they have a webcam. So the way that's initiated is you invite someone to share your webcam. So just like you can type in the window and chat, you can also have audio and video. So you would be online using Yahoo Messenger, and in your Messenger screen, you would get an invitation to share a webcam or use a webcam. So if you click on that to accept it, and it's a not-so-nice person on the other end that's maliciously crafted this exploit of vulnerability, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, that leads me to another question, which is, I know we've always talked about don't click on any link from someone, in this case, sending you an email that you don't know. How quickly do you become vulnerable when you click on that link? Is it a matter of having to sign in to that particular page, or is it instant?
Well, it's going to depend on what the link points to. For example, the Stormworm, which is very, very prevalent right now, is sending out things like e-card greetings and all kinds of stuff like that. And if you click on the link and your browser is properly configured, it's going to prompt you, do you want to download or run the file? And if at that point you say, no, I don't want to do either, you're fine. In other cases, if the link points to a Windows picture file of certain types and you haven't patched your computer, then you click on the link, the image loads, it overflows the picture viewer, and your computer is owned instantly.
Wow. And what about, I think in either an earlier podcast or maybe our own discussions, you'd said, I mean, it seems like keeping some of your information separate is an appropriate thing so that you don't have anything that is sensitive, like your online banking information, connected with a specific email account or IM account. Is that something I should be concerned about?
Well, you know, if you're going to get a new computer, which we tend to do, a lot of us tend to do every few years anyway, the old computer's probably plenty powerful enough to do your online banking. Mm-hmm. If you can designate a computer that you only use for sensitive activities and have another computer to use for playing games, assuming you're not doing online games because that stuff's getting stolen too, but, you know, playing games, browsing the web, reading news, whatever, it helps protect you because then you don't have your passwords for your banking and other things on the same computer that you're going out to general websites with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think I may go home tonight and do just that. I have an old computer that I don't particularly want to have my identity stolen or my bank account cleaned out, so it might be smart to use that exclusively for my home banking.
Now, you do still want to have security software on that. You still want to have antivirus software. A firewall's a must.
A firewall's a must?
Absolutely, for any computer going out on the web.
And why is that?
There are a bunch of attacks constantly happening on the web, and a lot of them are filtered out by the firewall. They just never make it to your computer. If you have a hardware router, that's great, but a software firewall is really good too. In fact, with the Blaster Worm, one of the problems was that with Windows XP Service Pack 1, the firewall wasn't turned on by default, and people would reinstall Windows and get infected right away because they didn't have anything to block them from the attack, and since they were reinstalling Windows, they didn't have the patch yet, they couldn't actually download the patch in time to prevent them from getting infected. So what they ended up having to do was install Windows off the net, turn on the firewall.
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, they had plenty of time because Blaster was being deflected by the firewall.
Yikes. So all those little pop-ups on your computer saying your firewall's not, not currently on, or your antivirus is not updated, we need to pay attention to those pretty
yeah, those little pop-ups are usually your software laughing at you for it being smarter than you.
Well, on that sobering note, if people are interested in more information on security in general or specifics about how you can avoid being phished or losing your identity, they can contact you at
askeset@eset.com.
Terrific. Thanks, Randy. This has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.